The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Psalm 37:21. I am Rob West. As Christians, we know that paying our debts is important. We serve a just and righteous God who hates dishonesty. But what if someone owes you money? What recourse do you have? I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, God's Word contains dozens of verses about repaying debt, but usually from the perspective of owing it to others. Another example of this is Ecclesiastes 5:5. It reads, "It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay." We have to dig a little deeper to discern God's will for us when someone owes us money, but one thing is very clear. The Lord expects us to act differently than the world. For one thing, if the one who owes you is a fellow believer, you should never sue to recover that money. Paul says this in no uncertain terms. In 1 Corinthians 6:6 and 7, he writes, "But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? To have lawsuits at all with another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded?" Of course, this applies only if the person owing you money is a fellow believer. The Bible doesn't say that you can't sue someone outside the church. If you own a business, you may someday be forced to take someone to court for non-payment, simply to keep your business going. Now, that's not to say you have no recourse within the church. If someone rightfully owes you money and doesn't pay, there's a four-step process for reconciling the issue. First is to put the matter into perspective. You shouldn't be surprised if another believer attempts to defraud you. Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." With that in mind, consider how Jesus treated sinners with kindness and patience. Avoid confrontation. A good way to do that is by praying for the one who owes you money. You might say to God, "Heavenly Father, I lift this person up to you and put this situation in your hands. Please give me wisdom and please bless this person financially so they will never feel the need to borrow in the future. Your ways are not our ways. Please use this situation to give glory to you and guide my steps. Help me act as Christ would, showing mercy that others might see and be drawn to you. In Jesus' name, amen." The next step is to meet with the person who owes you money. In Matthew 18:15, Jesus says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If they listen to you, you have won them over." That means keeping the matter private for now. Don't grouse about it to your spouse or friends, and certainly not on social media. The idea is to show respect for the other person so their heart might be softened. The real goal is reconciliation. Getting what you're owed is secondary. Be willing from the outset to forego payment if need be. If meeting privately with the person doesn't work, step three is to take other Christians with you for another meeting. Jesus goes on to say in verses 16 and 17, "If they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector." Now, that seems pretty drastic, but we're entering the realm of church discipline. It's important to understand that this isn't to punish the individual, but to help him or her see the error of their ways, repent, and make good. If this person rightfully owes you money and refuses to pay, it's a sin and the church needs to deal with it. Just as with adultery or any other type of public sin, the church must exercise proper discipline or it ceases to honor God. If the offender refuses to repent, Jesus himself says they should be treated as an unbeliever. And finally, step four, you must continue to show humility, respect, and love for the offender. You must remember that you represent Christ and that you trust Him for the outcome. People are watching you. Think of the situation not as a win-lose proposition, but as an opportunity to express the love of Christ in a difficult situation. As believers, we should be better than the world at resolving conflict. Pray the Holy Spirit will show His power through this process, that God's will should be accomplished through you, whether you're paid or not. either way, you must forgive that person as Christ has forgiven you. Mark 11:25 reads, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses." Much more to come just around the corner. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. One thing we need more and more of in today's world is peace. Yes, world peace. But we know that world peace isn't going to happen this side of heaven. We need more of Christ's peace, too. The peace He gives us from the Father, forgiveness of sins, the peace of knowing we are loved and accepted. Do you know this peace? John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Christ has given us His peace, the very peace He has with the Father He gives to us. It's ours in Jesus. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White, each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
I'm so glad you've joined us today for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. You know, we have an incredibly high calling as stewards or managers of God's resources, so let's be faithful in that calling. Let's get it right as we live on God's money and give it away, and that which we owe. How can we think about owing in a way that honors God, and what about growing it for the future? Well, let's talk about what you're considering today related to God's money and see if we can help you apply biblical principles, because we know that biblical principles, well, they work in every situation. They're always right. They're always relevant. They're never going to change. It doesn't matter the tax code, the interest rates, what's going on with GDP or CPI. It doesn't really matter because God's word is true and it always applies to everything going on in our lives, and that includes our money. Why do you think there was so much in or is so much in God's word related to this topic? 2,600 passages, half the parables. I believe that it's because we know that money is often a chief competitor to lordship. You know, if something is going to compete with first place in our lives with God for first place in our lives, often it's going to be money and the things that money can buy. The cultural worldview around money is built on materialism. You should spend all that you have. It's built on envy, the comparison trap, comparing yourself to others and trying to keep up with the Joneses. It's based on greed. Get all you can and save mindlessly for the future. Well, that's not the biblical worldview. So we want to renew our minds with really a proper understanding of the role of money in our lives, starting with this idea that God owns it all, and then applying his wisdom to all the decisions and choices we have to make on a daily basis. So we'd love to hear from you. We've got some lines open today, and let's tackle whatever you're thinking about financially. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. You know, we started today by talking about when someone owes you money, and that whole owe category is one we have to consider and run through a biblical lens. So let's talk about that a bit more. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call if you have questions. So the five things we can do with money: we can live on it, we can give it away, we can owe it for debt, owe it for taxes, or we can grow it for the future. So when we talk about owing for debt, the first big idea or principle we have to recognize is that borrowing always mortgages the future. That's right. When we incur debt, we're predetermining how we're going to spend some of our income for a predetermined amount of time. You go and buy a car and you've got a $350 a month payment for 3 years. Well, you've pre-committed to $350 of your monthly income for the next 3 years. Thus, you've limited your flexibility. You've given a third party, the lender, the right to demand that you spend $350 a certain way each month. So if that's the principle, that borrowing always mortgages the future, then what's the rule? Well, the rule should be that we only borrow when the economic return is greater than the economic cost. So think houses. Okay, we buy a house. Again, you can get in trouble buying a house if you pay too much, you stretch and buy something you can't afford. But let's say you put down the proper down payment and that monthly payment fits into your budget. I would say no more than 25% of your take-home pay. All right, well, that's a productive use of borrowing because now you've bought something that should appreciate over time. Doesn't mean it will always go straight up. It could go down. This year could be one of those years where it does. But over time, that should appreciate. So the economic return should be greater than the economic cost. Consumer purchases, however, will fail this rule. If you go out and spend money for lifestyle spending on consumer debt like credit cards, well, that's not a productive use of debt because, well, the economic return, there's no way it's going to be greater than the economic cost. So that rule might seem hard, but it really can help us differentiate between needs and wants. Because as we evaluate our spending decisions and our borrowing decisions, what we will find is that often those things that are consumer borrowing are wants. And we may say, or we should say, if we can't afford to pay cash for it or put it on a credit card and pay it off at the end of the month in full, then maybe we need to skip it and not make this purchase. So hopefully that rule can help you make some wise decisions. Let's talk about a few more. By the way, we've got some lines open today. Whatever you're thinking about, whether it's debt or giving, maybe it's your long-term savings or that credit score, or Social Security, whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. That's 800-525-7000. All right, the next principle is that we don't ever want to presume upon the future. James 4 speaks to this. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you don't know what tomorrow will bring. So we want to be careful not to presume upon the future. We don't know where God may call us or what he may ask us to do next. If we take on debt, we're possibly precluding ourselves from being able to respond to God's call. So we've got to be careful there. So the rule then that comes out of this principle of not presuming upon the future is we need a guaranteed way to repay the amounts that we borrowed. Proverbs 22 talks about this. Be not one of those who gives pledges, who puts up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? That's pretty straightforward. And this rule is as well. It basically requires that we have some certainty as to the means we will use to repay our debt. The common place this is violated is with, investment debt often. When we go on margin and borrow to invest, that's taking a risk such that what if that investment declines in value and now we're not able to repay that debt? And that's why I would tell you, don't ever buy investments on margin when you're borrowing to do so. That's just not a productive use, and it can get you in real trouble. So be careful there. A third principle on owing, and that's what we're talking about. Remember, live, give, owe, and grow. We're focusing on kind of God's heart and perspective on when we should owe and how to do it appropriately. The third principle is that God gave you a spouse to complete you. Therefore, spouses must be in complete agreement. This will save you a lot of headache if you will agree in advance that if we don't agree on taking on this debt, we're just simply not going to do it. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So if one spouse doesn't feel good about it, put it on hold. It's better to forego a home run investment than to damage your relationship with your spouse. So be very careful there. Another principle, never deny God an opportunity to provide through your borrowing. Luke 12:24, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They neither have storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? This final principle is one of the most difficult to apply because it requires that we have our hearts and our minds close to God with the ability to discern whether or not we are providing for ourselves in a place where God would otherwise provide. Where I see this play out is folks get into financial trouble, and rather than spreading the bills on the credit card or out on the table, they pull out the credit card and use that to cover their expenses. And that obviously is robbing God of an opportunity to step in and provide. So I would say the rule here then is, therefore, there must be no other alternatives. So when it's properly applied, the debt solves for our goal or objective, and we allow God to step in and do what only He can do, and we don't take that away by using debt to fill in the gap. So hopefully those are some principles that can help you. Those principles lead to four questions you can ask before taking on any debt. I'll mention those just around the corner. Plus, Brian in Ohio, we're coming your way. Plus your calls, 800-525-7000. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today. What are you thinking about financially? Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. To Ohio we go. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had some questions. I recently resigned from my W-2 job and took a position just working for myself. My wife and I decided to work for ourselves, and it's gone really well. COVID was kind of hard, but the last couple of years it's getting better. And so now we're trying to use, we have a couple different businesses, and we're trying to use those businesses to leverage to buy real estate. And we have a large family, and the idea is to purchase homes for my children as they become adults and marry and move out, and then they rent off of us. And so what it would do, the idea is that they support us for our retirement by using the real estate and the mortgage or the rental income. And we're building that into a trust company and then a holding corporation. And then eventually we hand it down to them and just kind of perpetuate that. And I just want to know, I want to make sure that we're biblical in what we're doing with our money and that that's acceptable, because it is taking on a lot of debt in leveraging things. And I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I also appreciate your sensitivity not to getting over levered here as you do all of this. So you'd end up with how many pieces of property?
Well, eventually it'll be 11. We have 11 children plus the house we live in now will be 12. But currently what we have is I've took out a line of credit against our home. We have a couple $100,000 equity in our home, and we took out a line of credit and we purchased the first home that we're rehabbing, and I've got another deal. I'm actually buying a house that needs to be moved to another property. I've got the lot to move it to, so I'm going to have to borrow for that. And then there's another mini property, like a mini farm, because my one daughter is into horses, that we're trying to contract now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the only concern I have on what I'm hearing, I mean, I like the plan. I just want you to be careful and not getting overextended. And I sense that you're feeling that as well. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why you're calling about this. The fact that you took on this line of credit on your primary residence, that's not my preferred way for you to deal with this, just because that's, you know, obviously going to be a variable rate. So that rate is increasing, and you're putting your primary residence at risk here for what really is a business venture. I mean, I realize there's a connection back to your family members, your children, but it really is a business venture of sorts. You know, the other issue we've got is that, you know, given the number of kids we're talking about here, not only is the debt level is going to continue to rise, and it doesn't seem like you have the assets to buy these without using significant leverage. The statistics would tell us that at least several of these kids, you know, would at some point along the way be unable to make the payment just because life happens and, you know, things come up and, you know, debt changes the relationship. And so now it's a, you know, it's a lender-slave relationship, the Bible describes it. And so, you know, you have to recognize that at that point, you know, this changes the relationship with you and your kids. And, you know, you may have to step in to avoid, you know, losing a property. And you've got to think about the relational damage that that could cause. And so what we don't want to do is your desire to bless them and create an income stream for yourself ends up creating a strained relationship because of something out of their control. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And just to clarify, the line of credit, I'm only using that temporarily. So
for the construction?
Once we finish the rehabbing, I'll take the mortgage, pay the line of credit off, and then we'll rent the property for the 1/27th depreciation. So I'll rent the property for, say it's a $100,000 home mortgage, then I would rent the property for, I have a 1/27th depreciation, that's $2,700 a year. I would rent it for $200 a month over the mortgage so that I stay below the tax basis on that.
Sure.
But the line of credit would be paid off. I'm not going to draw. The only reason I draw that line of credit is to do whatever it needs to get the real estate to be done so that it's movable and then I can lease it.
Yep. Yep. And it would be leased to your child, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I have two adult children right now. They're married. I have more than two adult children. I have two that are married. I have two more that are adults that are ready to, they're not married yet, but they're ready to move out. And so we're trying to, now I have other businesses too. I have two other businesses actually, and I produce a pretty decent income off those. And so I have enough to cover any shortages should my children default for whatever reason.
Okay. All right. Yeah. As long as you go into it knowing that, and then I guess the other question would just be, have you really thought through the exit ramp? So what if they decide, you know, God redirects them to some other place, some other part of the country and they want to get out of this property and sell it, they would have the ability to do that?
Because what we're doing is we're establishing a trust and then a holding company, and then every house will be a separate LLC.
Got it.
And so the holding company is going to own all of them. So at any time we can either re-rent to somebody that's not family or dispose of the property and just collect whatever equity we have in it.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I think you've really thought through it. What do you think will be the average loan to value on these properties moving forward?
I want to try to stay at 80% or less. Really, I don't want to borrow any more money than what we're going to rent it for. So if I rent it, say the rent is established at $1,500, then I want to work backwards from that number. And I want to say, okay, the 1/27th depreciation would allow for, you know, say $300 a month. So that means the mortgage needs to be $1,200 so I can get the $300 tax free. And so we're only going to borrow whatever this will buy for us.
Yeah, perfect. Well, if you have the ability to do that, you have the cash flow from your own businesses, it sounds like you put it in the right structure legally to limit liability and handle tax efficiency. As long as you have clear communication that's documented with each of the kids so they understand what they're getting into, what they're committing to, what the exit ramps are, and you know you need to step in if for some reason something happens, then I think you've covered your bases, Brian. I love it. Well done, sir. Thanks for calling today. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
So they asked me to enter my email address. And the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Applying biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices is what we do here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. What questions do you have today? 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Brian. I think we lost him for a second. We're trying to get him back on the line. But Brian is really trying to think through how to be found faithful with the resources that God has entrusted to him. He's relatively new to entrepreneurship. He and his wife, he's making a good income from a couple of businesses that he has. He's got a number of children and trying to provide for them, building a portfolio of real estate that he's going to use debt to purchase, but he's going to lease these properties out to his kids to create a passive income stream for he and his wife, but to bless them with home ownership. But also, he's just wondering, is this, you know, too much? Am I, you know, following a biblical pattern here? Am I, you know, being greedy? Or, you know, how do I need to think about this? And what about the debt side of it? Am I presuming upon the future when I take on this debt? Brian, as we think about this, it sounds like your kind of main issue right now is, number one, is there anything in Scripture that really would discourage me from the approach that I'm taking right now? And then number two, am I putting myself in financial jeopardy by any of the moves that I'm making, notably the amount of leverage you're going to have to acquire this real estate portfolio? Are those the main issues?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the key is we've got to back up and say, okay, what is then a biblical worldview of money management? Well, it starts with the fact that God owns it all and we're stewards or managers. So we want to go to God's word and look for principles in God's word that we can apply to our financial decision making. And I think we start with this idea that we need to make sure that we need to check our hearts, because our money management is a reflection of our heart. It's probably, well, Larry Burkett would say it this way, it's the clearest indicator into what's going on in your life spiritually. So do I see greed? Am I, you know, buying into the American dream in such a way that allows me to attempt to redeem greed? And I need to check my heart there. Am I being envious? Am I coveting, you know, what someone else has? And is that my motivation or driver? Have I bought into a materialism, you know, message that the world and the culture has, which just says I should have, you know, be able to spend as much as I want? Those are not the biblical worldview. The biblical worldview of money is really based on this idea that God created us to be workers, and he provides for us. We're to hold what he gives us loosely. Yes, we're to provide for our families. That's clear in 1 Timothy. But I think before that, we should look to be generous. And, you know, part of why God entrusts what he does to us is so that we can share it with others. And that really should be a key part of how we think about the resources that God has entrusted to us. And what we'll find is the giving is what breaks the grip of money over our lives. You know, we live in the most prosperous nation in the history of the world, and yet there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of discontentment, there's a lot of worry and anxiety around money. And the reason is we've bought into the cultural message and not the biblical approach. And so if you approach this with contentment, holding it loosely, looking for ways to give generously, then I think there's a prudent way to save for the future. And that could include building a real estate portfolio that you use to bless your kids, to create an income stream that allows you to be even more generous, you know, now and in the future. So I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with any of that, as long as you're really praying through it and saying, God, how much is enough? And what's the right lifestyle for me? And what's my lifestyle finish line? And what's the right accumulation? And what's my finish line for accumulation? And as long as, you know, as you create more wealth, you're using it as an engine to not only provide for your family, but not just continuing to meet an endless list of wants, but you're using it as an engine, you know, to cap your lifestyle and then to accelerate your giving, then I think that's always going to keep your heart posture in the right place. Now, with regard to the debt itself, I think there's some questions that we can ask ourselves and we need to before we take on any debt. You know, the first question is related to, you know, the financial side of this. Is the economic return going to be greater than the economic cost? Well, in each of these cases, the way you've described how you're using debt for the homes, the answer should be yes. Number two, are you presuming upon the future when you take out the debt? In other words, is there a guaranteed way to repay? Well, based on the equity you're going to have in the home, based on the rental income you have, and based on your business and the cash flow it's throwing off, there should be a guaranteed way for you to repay this debt, at, you know, if necessary. Third is, do you have unity with your spouse? And if not, that would be a showstopper for me. But if so, then I think you can proceed. And then the fourth, are there any other alternatives to taking on this debt so that I don't deny God an opportunity to work? And I think those are at least four, maybe not the only four, but at least four questions you should be asking as you think about this. And then in terms of the dangers of debt, you know, it's really going to come down to first financial, just are you putting yourself in economic jeopardy because you're taking on too much debt, presuming upon the future without that guaranteed way of repaying. I don't think that's a problem here. Are there spiritual issues? That's a danger. You know, the spiritual dangers are, you know, presuming upon the future and denying God an opportunity to work. And then the psychological dangers, which is where it creates stress and tension, particularly in marriage relationships, because the borrower becomes the lender's slave. And so being in debt puts us in a position of servitude. And so I think those are the pieces we need to think through and just see if any of those throw a red flag up. And if so, we got to lean into that, pray about it, talk about it. But if not, then I think you're, you know, clear to proceed. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it is. Prior to this endeavor, like I said, before I was employed, I would not go in debt. I refused to go in debt. I was the only provider for the family. My wife didn't work. So I kind of lived by the motto that I'm only going to live my lifestyle so that I could, if everything went completely wrong, I can get a job at McDonald's and sustain my family. And so I always lived like that. I wouldn't go in debt for anything. And I'm not in debt for anything now. Our vehicles are paid off. Everything's paid off. The only thing I owe for now is my house. And then I have a loan for the business, for some equipment for the business. It's 30-some thousand. That's it. It's not very big. So other than that, that's it. So as we move forward with this real estate, you know, we're not going to borrow more than where we're going to be. And my lifestyle is very simple. We actually live as self-sustaining as possible. We live off-grid. I've heated with wood for 15 years. I don't pay gas bills. I live in the county. I don't have water bills. I've invested in solar. I'm trying to get completely self-sustaining off-grid, you know. And so I try to live as nimble as possible with so many children. And obviously, there's limitations to what I can do without being moderately inconvenienced. But I've always lived that lifestyle, an outdoorsy, you know, we have huge gardens, we produce our own food, we grow our own animals, we do all these things ourselves.
Sure.
And so So not only do we invest in real estate and things like that, but we also are investing in self-sustainability. And that's part of our daily routines. So,
yeah, very good. Well, I like the way you're thinking a lot, Brian. You know, I think the key for you is to continue to check your heart. I think you've covered really all the bases. I think giving is going to be key to just continue to keep the grip of money from grabbing hold of your life and to make sure you and your wife are on the same page about all of this. But apart from that, I don't hear anything that gives me a check in my spirit, Brian. I think you're doing a lot of things right. I really appreciate your time today. God bless you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
Tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
The old saying goes, attitude is everything, and it's true. On the next Focus on the Family, Deborah Pagay explains how positive thinking is biblical thinking. You'll learn ways to embrace God's promises and focus on His divine perspective so you can develop a stronger, more resilient attitude. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
You know, as we think about managing God's money, our goal is faithfulness. You know, we don't want to allow money to occupy a place it doesn't belong in. We want to make sure God stays at the center of our lives and that our money is actually a tool to not only provide for ourselves and our families, but really to mold and shape our hearts into what God is fashioning us into. You know, money management is one of the ways we work out our faith most tangibly, most clearly, because it's that daily activity. We're always spending money. And if money issues are heart issues, remember Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, if money issues are heart issues, then it's one of the most tangible ways we work out our faith each day. And we've got to go back to God's word. We've got to be in prayer, inviting God into our financial life. And we've got to see these spending decisions we're making is ultimately spiritual decisions. And I think perhaps that can help change our perspective. Perspective is everything. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'd love to hear from you here in our final segment today. If you have questions, financially speaking, that you'd like to tackle today, give us a call. Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I was delighted to spend a few extra minutes with Brian today just to unpack his situation. 11 kids wanting to do things right. He's obviously got a lot going on and just wanting to know that what he's doing is not out of bounds of Scripture. And I think that's where so many of us are. You know, we're trying to be prudent and wise and save for the future, and yet we don't want to get off a track that God may be taking us down. We don't want to buy into the messages of this world, which can convince us that more is always better. And I think we've got to be careful about that as we move forward. And I appreciate Brian's sensitivity to that. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, we were talking about debt. I think one of the areas that often can trip us up in this area of debt that the Bible is very clear on. And it says in no uncertain terms, we shouldn't do it. And that's co-signing. You know, we've got to be really careful. Here's what God's word says, Proverbs 17, 18. One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor. Proverbs 22, 26, and 27, be not one of those who gives pledges, who puts up security for debts. So we have to be careful. I think the danger of co-signing is the same today as it was 2,500 years ago. One study I saw recently showed that 4 out of 10 people who co-sign end up paying off the loan. Nearly a third suffer damage to their credit, and a quarter say the experience damaged their relationship with the primary signer, again, usually a relative or a friend, which creates a real problem. No wonder Proverbs is included in the wisdom books. So this is an area we really need to be careful on, and I would just say stay far away from it, because debt changes the relationship. And so whenever family and friends are involved, it could really lead to disaster. So what are the alternatives? Well, if you haven't done it, I would just say don't do it. The only other alternative might be to just make an outright gift in a situation where you want to bless somebody rather than co-signing. Just make a gift. And that way there's no strings attached. You're not putting them in a servitude type relationship. If you do co-sign, like in the case of a child, perhaps, again, I would say first option is just not to do it at all. But if you're convinced you need to, I would say you only should do it if you're ready, willing, and able to step in and pay off the debt, and to do so without it creating one bit of a strain in the relationship. You would need to decide on the front end that you're willing to do that, and you'd be okay with it because it's not worth relational damage over this financial transaction. If you're already in a situation where you've co-signed and you want to get out, really the only two options there are to get the co-signer to refinance without you, which in many cases is not possible, or else it wouldn't have required you in the first place. But that's really the first step. The second is just to take over in order to avoid damage to your own credit report. And often you're going to need to do that. As I said, Federal Trade Commission tells us that 4 out of 10 people who co-sign end up paying off the loan. So once again, we see God's word, the wisdom from the Bible, bearing out truth in our financial lives. And that is certainly something that we need to heed and take to heart as we think about our finances. All right, 800-525-7000, just a few moments remaining in the broadcast today. Let's tackle a couple of emails. We receive emails from you all the time at askrob@faithfi.com. This one comes from Lee, and Lee writes, our church is 3 years old and growing. We have almost $400,000 saved up to buy our own building. We have no debts, and we pay our pastor a decent salary. We want this money to be earning some interest without any risk, and it needs to be easily accessible when we find a suitable place to worship. What do you suggest? Thanks for your awesome ministry. Well, Lee, I would visit with our friends at Christian Community Credit Union. They have some wonderful options for businesses and churches in particular that I think could be great, not only a money market, but you could even look at a 7-month CD at 4% for up to $250,000. That would be a great option for a portion of this. You can learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com, but I think that would be a great option. Plus, these are folks that are believers. They serve believers in ministries and churches, and a portion of everything that comes in, they're able to share with some of the most compelling Christian ministries doing work in the name of Jesus around the world. So again, joinchristiancommunity.com is the place to go. Thanks for writing to us. One more email and then to the phones before we wrap up today. This is from Martha. I'm 62. I thought my 401k was a safe place to put money that I didn't want to lose. Wrong. Now I'm tired of losing money in my retirement account. Would it be a good and safe thing to take the money from the Roth and place it in a CD at 4.5%. I've been praying about this and thought I would get wisdom from you. Thanks for your ministry. Well, Martha, I certainly understand your concern that you have around the money that you've lost. I mean, it's frustrating. I know you feel a sense of responsibility as a steward of this money, and you're just seeing it decline. The challenge is that you're looking at this in a very narrow window of time. The last 10 or 12 years, the market's been going straight up. We just happen to be, you know, through the pandemic and now post-pandemic with sky-high inflation headed toward a potential recession. We've just been in a season where the market's under some pressure. But the market works in cycles. And so when we take a long view with a properly diversified portfolio, we just have to accept we're going to go through periods like this. And if we don't look at it in a one-year or a two-year time frame, but a 5 or a 10 or a 15-year time frame, that's really the prudent way to go. If you pull your money from the Roth, you're going to lock in those losses and run the risk of missing the market recovery, which is, you know, the reason why you stay invested during these times, as long as you're properly invested with a prudent portfolio that's diversified. The market may go down, of course, before it recovers, but it always recovers, historically speaking. So if you don't need the money for a few years, it's best to leave it where it is so you get that recovery and let it continue to grow. At 62, if you're in good health and the Lord tarries, you need this money to last for decades. So I would leave it right where it is in that 401k and the Roth IRA. Let it recover. Once it recovers, that's probably the time to look at it and say, was I being a little too aggressive and do I need to make some changes? All right, let's head back to the phones before we round out the broadcast today. Ken in Arkansas, go ahead, sir. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. I really enjoy your commentary and your Christian views on things. And I'm a real estate appraiser by profession, and just heard the young man that had 11 kids that were buying rent houses, whatever like that. It would be my recommendation that he buy a duplex or two.
Way
he could, if one of the kids moved in and the other one was rented out, and there was a little slowness and pain or whatever like that, they'd still carry the load most of the time. And I also see it with senior citizens that are downsizing. They don't want to keep up a yard or whatever, and my constant recommendation is, hey, buy a duplex, let someone else pay for your payment, and you, you know, take and go from there. But anyway,
yeah. Hey, I like that a lot.
Go ahead, sir. Ken. Well, hey, I appreciate your advice. And again, your attitude and everything is tremendous. I look forward to getting on the road and try and catch you between me measuring houses or duplexes or whatever I do. But anyway.
Well,
have
thank
a great
you.
Day. God That's, bless you and yours.
Thank you, Ken. That's very kind of you, my friend, and very thoughtful. I love your comment as well about the duplex. I think you're exactly right. I think that could be a great option. A lot of folks have taken advantage of that option to buy a duplex. Not only is it a great way to perhaps cover the mortgage with the other side that you're not living in, but talk about being a landlord that in terms of the ease of dealing with maintenance issues, you're right there. You're living one wall away from your rental property, whether that's a family member or just a private sale type situation. And, you know, you're right there. You can obviously maintain the property very easily. I think a duplex is a great option for a lot of folks. You know, when we think about our investment approach, we want to be properly diversified. That includes different asset classes. So it could include stocks and bonds and real estate and precious metals. And there's other asset classes, of course, even beyond that. So part of our diversification shouldn't necessarily be just in large cap, mid cap, small cap, but we need to think across asset classes as well, so we don't have all of our eggs in one basket, and we can apply God's wisdom around from Ecclesiastes to our diversification strategy. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. So appreciate you being along with us today as we talk about managing money God's way. If you found value in this ministry and you're a faithful listener and you'd like to support us charitably, we'd certainly appreciate it. Faith and Finance is listener-supported, and you can give online at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. We'd certainly appreciate that here as we reach mid-month, and we're trying to reach our own giving goals for the month of February. It would go a long way. Again, faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. On behalf of my team today, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. So thankful to have you here today. I hope what you've heard has been an encouragement. And let me just leave you with this. Giving breaks the power of money over your life. So if you're thinking about how to use God's money, it's always a good idea to give it away and partner with God in what He's doing. Have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.